Well, welcome to the first Sunday of 2022. I'm hesitant to say, how is the year going for you? We've had 36 hours. Has it been reasonable so far, or are you hoping that something better will happen as we move through into the year? Where shall we start? Now, although we may not agree with New Year resolutions, this time of the year isn't a bad time to pause for thought and say to ourselves, well, look back at 2021. What was successful in my life that year? What wasn't? What lessons can I learn as I carry over into a new year? It's about pausing to think about how we can do things better in this coming year, and that's not a bad thing. So I want to suggest something to you this morning, that it's never too late to renew your priorities, to pause for a while and think to yourself, what are the priorities in my life? So let's just pause for a moment to examine that title for our thoughts this morning. Priorities, what are they? Well, the dictionary definition is this: if something is a priority, it is the most important thing you have to do or deal with, or must be done or dealt with before everything else you have to do. It's that first thing in our lives. Important. Those things, out of all the things that we're involved in, that are more important, and therefore we give them more time. So I ask you the question this morning, what are the priorities in your life? What are the priorities in my life? Have you ever spent much time thinking about what you should spend your time on? Most people haven't. Most people go through their lives not pausing for thought and examining the way they live their lives. Not pausing for thought and saying, do I use my time well or not? They just go from day to day doing whatever they want and whatever they feel like doing without ever really asking themselves what they should be doing. And it's not a good thing to go through life like that. It's a tragedy, in fact. It would be a tragedy to have gone through your whole life and at the end of it look back and realize that you spent all your time, all your money, all your energy on things that were pointless and had no value at all. To look back and realize that life had been nothing of value whatsoever. How depressing it would be to realize that you'd wasted your entire life on valueless pursuits, doing things that were really of no value. But listen, the purest sense of the definition of priorities indicates this, that you can only have one priority. As soon as you have a list of priorities, nothing is a priority. The definition requires that we have one priority in our lives. Everything else is less than that single most significant driver in your life. So this morning we're going to think together about our priorities, but we may individually choose to go away determined to implement that single priority in our lives. But the title of our thoughts this morning talks about the need to renew our priorities. You see, we all have priorities, those things which already take first place in our lives every day. And without pausing to think about them, we know what they are. Those single things that occupy our lives from day to day. Some of them we know about and we plan our lives round them. Coronation Street is on at 7:30. And daft things like that. But some of them, we don't even realize our priorities and that they influence the way that we do things, the way that we behave. We don't realize that these things have become so important in our lives. And we could spend a long time this morning listing those many things that we have as priorities in our lives, many things which take the place of those things which the Bible tells us should and must be our priorities if we are to truly walk the walk of faith and get the very best out of our lives as believers. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to build that list and say these are the good things, these are the bad things. We're going to focus on one thing. Just to recognize that all of us need to change. It's a truism, you know, that if we do what we have always done, we will always get the same result. If we continue to do what we've always done, we will always get the same result. And if the result wasn't really very good, well, we need to change what we're doing. So how can we press the restart button on our lives, if you like, so that we let God capture our attention once more and every moment of our lives become occupied with him and by him? Well, the Bible helps us with all of that. The great characters of faith we know are listed in Hebrews 11, and there are a large number of them. And in fact, there are open-ended statements in Hebrews 11 which say there are many, many more than those who are named. For me, one of the most curious people in the list is in verses 5 and 6. The Bible tells us very little about ancient Enoch, but there's enough for us to come to the conclusion that he was a very special person. God took him. It doesn't say that he died. He took him to be with him. And we'll find out why that was so in a moment. The little book of Jude in the New Testament suggests that he was a prophet who spoke God's words to the people of his day, which was just 7 generations after Adam, before the flood. This is a really ancient character living in the very early days of humanity. Genesis 5:22-24 suggests that he didn't always walk with God. It was only when he was 65 years old, after the birth of his son, that he began his faith walk, which lasted a very long time. Now, we're not going to distract ourselves with how long yet. We'll mention that a bit later on. Never mind the number of years. Don't be distracted by that. But do focus on this man, Enoch. Whatever the cause, after his son was born, Enoch recognized his moral and spiritual limitations, and he cast himself upon God for help. From then on, he walked with God, the text says, day by day, to such a degree that his rightness with God reached into every part of his life, every moment, every act. He was there. He walked with God day by day. Enoch had become a man who was completely devoted to his God, and who was constantly aware of both the existence and the generosity of his God. He loved him intensely and completely. So what can we learn from the life of this man? And what can we apply to our own lives? That's what we want to know, isn't it? What type of person was Enoch? What inspired him? What motivated him as he walked the walk of faith? What can we learn from him? Genesis 5:22-24 says that Enoch walked with God. In fact, we're told twice in those verses that Enoch walked with God. Just in case you didn't remember, Enoch walked with God. That's the character of the man. That's not Enoch's testimony. It's the testimony of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, as he moved the writers to record the life of Enoch. The Spirit of God said, Enoch walked with God. Wouldn't that be great to know that at the end of our days, God would say, he or she walked with me. That's what was said of Enoch. God looked at Enoch's life and he saw a man who in every way pleased him. Now we know that word walk. We know that that word walk refers to a way of living that results in a person living in nearness to God, the walk of faith. That is the kind of walk Enoch had with God. He walked closely with him. It was a walk of dedication, a walk of total devotion to God. It was a walk in which Enoch lives up to his name, because his name means dedicated. Isn't that extraordinary? This dedicated in every way, even his name said that he was dedicated. The kind of walk that Enoch exhibited is the same kind of walk that needs to be seen in your life and mine. That's very different to my walk. It would seem that Enoch lived a life that demonstrated the faith that was there solidly in his mind and in his heart. He didn't talk one way and live another. He consistently, constantly, and completely walked with God. Have you got it? He walked with God for 300 years. Think about that. And at the end of it all, God says, Enoch, walk with me. That's the kind of walk we all need to aspire to today and every day. We should live a visible Christian life. People should see that walk of faith that pleases God in our everyday living. We should walk constantly with the Lord, never going anywhere without him. Never in some way separating out that which is spiritual from that which is not, but always walking with him wherever we go. We should avoid a life that's hot and cold, in and out, up and down. And we should walk with the Lord in humility and obedience. That's the kind of life that pleases God. A life which is far more than just attending on a Sunday morning for that regular act of worship that we so enjoy with our friends and Christian family, or making the occasional sacrificial gift to some worthy cause. It's much, much more than that. A life as a result of Enoch's walk, he pleased God. Now, preachers, I'm one of those, are so anxious to put do's and don'ts up on the screen, or remind us of the do's and don'ts out there on a list and encourage people to follow it so that we may be able to sort of self-generate a way to please God. We'll tick all the do's and remove all the don'ts. But how much simpler we could make the whole thing if we could say we walk with God. Every moment of every day, the proper thinking and behaviors would automatically fall into line as we go through our lives. If we could moment by moment say to ourselves, am I at this moment walking with God? On how to have purpose in our lives, what priorities we are to set for our lives. There are hundreds of such statements in the Bible, but they all boil down to one thing, and here it is. Here is the bottom line on how to set priorities and how to live with purpose. Make eternal things your priority. Make eternal things your priority. And if it was working, we'd have it coming up on there. So let's think about that for a while. You see, the only things that matter in the end are those that have eternal significance. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit or lose his own soul? What point is there in that? And again in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I guess that if we were to testify this morning, we would be able to tell of times in our lives when we knew we were close to God and he blessed us abundantly at that time in our lives. What does God say your priority should be? To seek first the kingdom of God, to live with eternity in mind. Paul says that same thing in many places in his letters. For example, in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2, he writes, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's quite different to the way that we naturally think and act. So what should our priorities be? We should focus on things that will last for eternity. Making God a priority simply means giving him lots of ourselves, lots of our time. You see, you can always determine what your priorities are by how much time you spend on it. If your children are a priority, you spend a lot of time on them. If work is a priority, you spend more time at work than the average person. If sports and recreation are a priority, you spend lots of time in keeping fit or watching the games. And whether you realise it or not, if you spend lots of time in front of the television, you're making it a priority. And I say that to myself without hesitation. But chances are that something else is filling your time that could be spent with God. So here is my challenge to all of us. I don't want it to be an overwhelming challenge as we start the year, because that would wipe us out, wouldn't it? An impossible challenge is really no help to any of us. But here's the challenge. Wherever you are up to in sorting out how much time you spend with God, move it up one notch this year. Just one notch. And you can even decide how big that notch is. But improve that in your life. How much time do you spend with God at the moment? Move it up a notch this year. That's the challenge. If you don't read your Bible and pray very regularly, and I would even dare to say to you every day, schedule it into your day, just like you would do with those priorities you already have. Now, no matter how much time we spend with God, we can always spend more. So wherever you are up to, just step it up a notch. When God is our priority, we're happy to spend time with him in his word, in prayer. God should be just number one in it all. God should be at the top of our list. God should be our main priority. Maybe you've tried to solve this time problem in different ways. Well, here's something to think about. If you've got your mind switched on now. If you were to spend 1 hour a day less in bed, think about it. If you were to spend 1 hour less watching the TV each day, you would recover 365 hours. That is the same as 9 40-hour working weeks. Have you got that? That is astounding, isn't it? What do we do otherwise with that 9 40-hour working weeks? We waste it. We waste it. And somewhere in there is the ability within all of our lives to move it up a notch and give more time to God. When we seek biblical priorities, we discover those relationships, activities, pursuits that should precede others in terms of their rank and order. What am I going to do first in my life? God doesn't want us to prioritize all of the possible activities in our life according to those spiritual priorities. He just wants us to be close to Him. What does God's word say should be our priorities then? Well, these following scriptures, and I don't apologize for reading all of these to you, should help us to establish the chief things that we should do. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Matthew 10, verse 37. Anyone who loves father or mother more than me, Jesus that is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What a challenge that is. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 30. One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And here's a very brief one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4. Is eternal. And Titus chapter 3 verse 14. Devote yourself to doing good. Have you got the point? Over and over and over again, God reminds us in our words, in his word, that we need to focus on him. You'll find many other verses, but I hope that those remind us of the sort of things we need to sort out and reprioritize in our lives. If we really do put Jesus Christ first in our life, if we really do exalt God above everyone else, if we consistently seek the kingdom of God, if we strive for love and every other spiritual fruit, then our lives will reveal Jesus to others as we bump into them on our walk of faith. Our lives will give clear evidence that our perspective on life is radically different from those around us. We think differently, and we will walk in Christ-likeness and order our life according to God's word. But listen, setting priorities is neither simple nor easy. It will take effort in 2022. If we're to move things up a notch. So start the year by taking some time out soon to bow before the one eternal God and confess our foolish waste of time and squandering of opportunities in this past year. Plead with him to help you discover his view of life's priorities. Ask for strength to do what you know you should do. Then spend quality time without interruption and noise, determining how you can change your life in light of all those priorities. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. With God's help, you and I can be wise, we can be strong, we can be godly, we can be spiritual men and women whose godly priorities please and glorify him. I know that some of you read the Everyday with Jesus notes each morning. And I was struck this morning by a simple prayer at the close of the notes. It says this: Lord, help me to be the best expression of myself. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Help me to be the best expression of myself. I think that's a great prayer with which to start. So let's just close our eyes, bow our heads, and we'll simply pray that prayer as I close this morning. Lord, help me to be the best expression of myself in 2022. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Thank you.